San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our first guest this morning, who's still with us hopefully for another half hour, is Christopher John Bjerknes of JewishRacism.com. He is, among many other things, the author of a 575-page book available to you online through that website entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. Christopher, just to pursue a little bit before we get back into some of the further historical particulars of what happened in the run-up to 1915, in a contemporary environment, it seems to me that just as we look back and see that there was a false juxtaposition that was being put forward publicly, and that has been ever since, that sees the Armenian tragedy as a Christian-Islamic struggle, it seems to me that the folks who ultimately... Given the correctness of your analysis, which I believe to be true, the folks that were ultimately behind what happened a little less than 100 years ago are now the folks that are posing a false juxtaposition between Western secularists and Christians on the one hand and Islamo-fascists on the other. This kind of false dialectic, it seems, gets back once more to who the real players are behind the scenes in a movement toward a third world war.
Yes, this labeling and name-calling meant to vilify and dehumanize the Muslims is on its face absurd, because in the Western media, the Christians and Jews are painted as if the victims, when in fact it is the Muslims who are dying in the millions, and it is the Muslim nations which are being utterly destroyed, and it is the Palestinians who are being genocided by the Israelis. And yet the media paints the Jews of Israel and the Christians of the West as if they're the victims. And it's just absurd on its face. And you can see that it's the pitting of one side against the other artificially and for no good ends. They're trying to generate wars out of nothing. And they commit false flag terrorism and all kinds of things to create turmoil in the Middle East. And the neoconservatives openly stated that their goal is not stability in the Middle East. Their goal in the Middle East is instability, and they want to have more and more wars so that they can break these countries up into smaller and smaller parcels that will have no means to counterattack against Israel when Israel grabs more and more land, and when Israel destroys the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque and rebuilds the Temple. Now, to Christians and Muslims, this signifies the rise of the Antichrist and the rejection of the sacrifice of Christ, because they are then going to reinstitute the animal sacrifices. The temple was destroyed, and the Jews were sent into exile after the arrival of Christ and in Christian doctrine. These Christian Zionists are aligning themselves with what should be described in Christian doctrine as the Antichrist.
Yes, exactly, and to me, you see that not only at its most profound level, in terms of a repudiation of the historic Christian doctrine of the efficacy of the atoning work of Christ on the cross, but then I look at the contemporary contradictory political alliances that have been created by this whole link between Christian Zionism on the one hand and World Zionism on the other, where, to my satisfaction, your work and that of Dr. E. Michael Jones, Michael Collins Piper comes to mind, a few other guys, Mark Glenn. All of these various people have produced things from time to time that has demonstrated to my satisfaction that some of the things that contemporary evangelical Christians claim to be so opposed to in contemporary American culture are in fact supported largely by World Zionism and World Jewry. We'll pursue that a little bit when we come back, and then I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the Rothschild plan to take Palestine. We'll be back with Christopher John Bjerknes. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Texas Public Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Christopher John Bjorknes. We've got another, say, 22 minutes to go with him, and then Chris Cox of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action will hopefully be with us for about 20 minutes as we wind up today's show. But you need to look at Christopher John Bjorknes' website, JewishRacism.com. Avail yourself of the 575-page book that's available to you. If you can download a PDF file, it's entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. Christopher, among the many things that comes to my mind as you and I have been talking is that this Christian Zionist alliance with world Zionism is so contradictory in terms of not only some of the specifics of Orthodox Christian theology as it pertains to the efficacy of the sacrifice of Christ and to the whole issue of Christ's kingdom not being of this world, but here you have a situation where Christian Zionism obviously is in league with a world Zionist movement that believes that the kingdom is of this world and that they are the head of it, that Jesus Christ has nothing to do with it. And when we look at some of the specific things that a disproportionate number of Jews have provably been in support of, just in terms of American culture, And I'm referring to things like the homosexual rights movement, the pornographic situation, and also the abortion industry. It seems to me that this is the kind of material that is provably kept from the average Christian who should be reading about this sort of thing in his or her Christian publications, should be seeing it on so-called Christian television, and yet it's not there. I think the implications as to why it's not there should be clear to the listeners by now. Christopher, are you still there? I guess we have lost him on a temporary basis. Should have him back here shortly. And as my technician works with me to see what has happened there, I think it's very clear that in terms of my own editorializing on this subject, that this is precisely what has happened. And as we consider what Christopher John Bjerknes has told us this morning, in conjunction with the Paul Craig Roberts article at lourockwell.com today entitled "A Free Press or a Ministry of Truth," becomes abundantly clear that mainstream media in this country is in the business of spinning things falsely and continuing to engage in progressive revelations in regard to truth and falsehood that engages in this whole business of evolutionary updating. And as the updates change, our historical memories are expected to erase in terms of what we were told previously. One example of this that comes up for me as I was listening to Christopher John Bjerknes this morning is this whole business of Rupert Murdoch. Isn't it interesting that Rupert Murdoch and his news corporation is in the process of a major takeover of the Dow Jones Corporation? And when you talk about the Dow Jones Corporation, you're speaking about the Wall Street Journal, and obviously you're speaking about international finance at the highest level, without question, and that includes clearly central banking. Is it not interesting that this is the same Rupert Murdoch who has infiltrated the American right through Fox News? And not only that, but Rupert Murdoch owns the Zondervan Publishing Company. Isn't that an interesting thing? The Zondervan Publishing Company is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is the same guy who runs Fox News, the same guy who's about to gain control or has already gained control of the Wall Street Journal and the Dow Jones Corporation. What does this suggest, folks? It suggests that when we understand the hidden players and the network of relationships that are behind these very powerful institutions that influence the way in which we think, we might understand what we have come to believe. We might understand why it is that we have not been confronted with the alternative information that Mike Piper talks about and Mark Glenn talks about at the American Free Press, and that quite clearly comes to us today with what Christopher John Bjerknes has shared with us in terms of the Jewish genocide of Armenian Christians, which you can find at jewishracism.com. And in conjunction with that, I'd like to get back to something that gets into the whole issue. Christopher, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I guess we were temporarily cut off there.
Yeah.
Hey, no problem. Listen, I wanted to ask you, is in terms of this whole business of Christian Zionism, I find it interesting that you have what in my view is a contradictory theology there, in that they, among many other things, see the kingdom as being of this world. They see the kingdom as being one where they can have an alliance with people who do not believe in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ or his deity. They repudiate the clearly taught doctrine of Jesus Christ that his kingdom is not of this world, and that we should be talking about blessed are the peacemakers rather than blessed are the war makers. And they seem to be ignoring the admonitions of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 in regard to the demonic powers and principalities that work through world governments. Now, having said all of that, it's amazing to me as well that in terms of contemporary Protestant evangelical Christianity in particular, in the United States, that there seems to be a complete lack of awareness, willing or unwitting, of the central Jewish role in this country of financing the pornography and abortion industries and financing such things as the homosexual rights movement and some of the other far-left movements of our time, culturally and politically. How are we supposed to sort all this out? It just seems to be absolutely bizarre. Is this simply a test case of how effective the Zionist propaganda machine has been?
Well, there are two angles that you've raised. One is the theological angle, and Paul himself warned of this, that the Christians were grafted onto the tree, and that as the Jews, through rejecting Christ, rejected the covenant, the Christians can also, through rejecting Christ, lose their love from God. And Christians ought to be very wary of the fact that Jews are deliberate, not all Jews, but the Zionist elite are intentionally and deliberately trying to make Christian society immoral and to subvert it, both for political and for religious reasons. They want God to turn against the Christians. They want to break the yoke of Esau, and they are deliberately trying to make Christians irreligious in the hopes that that will turn God against them. In a broader sense, and in the sense of what is more likely going on with most Jews, because not most Jews, but most of the specific Jews who are often secular people, they want to subvert the moral standing and the familial structure of our society so that they can then institute a revolution which will destroy us based on these utopian ideals which will never be manifested. And when they have brought us into chaos, they will then propose the idea that a dictator of their choosing is the only means of ending this chaos. And by instituting a dictator of their choosing, they will then net us in to this world government that they are establishing, and we will lose what American culture is, and the American experiment in freedom will be dead, and we will have been Bolshevized, exactly as happened to the Russian Empire. What they're doing is making our society more and more chaotic, less and less moral, so that they can turn the people against our own government in the hopes of obtaining a utopian ideal which will inevitably lead us into dictatorship, war, and the loss of our sovereignty. It is a process of undermining our character as a people.
Yes, and I think the important thing to underscore to the listeners is, as I hear your analysis, we are speaking of something that is deliberate and that is targeted. I think of some of my friends on the Christian right, the good people, who have been fighting some of the cultural wars for a long time in this country. I think of the late Harold O.J. Brown, who passed away on the 8th of July, who was an academic advisor of mine at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago a generation ago. I find it interesting that as sincere as I think Brown was in regard to his theological and cultural commitments, that I never heard him at any point indicate that he had any awareness of the sort of context behind this that you're speaking of. I find that to be a very sad omission in terms of really understanding the nature of the enemy.
Well, going back to Max Nordau, there's a quote I have in my book, The Manufacture and Sale of St. Einstein, where he says that in order for the Jews to be established as a nation, they will have to undermine the national sovereignty of all other nations. And this is, again, the way that Jewish leadership have interpreted messianic prophecy, that all the kings, princes, queens, and princesses have to be destroyed, which is symbolic of all government has to be destroyed. And in order to destroy government, you have to destroy the cohesiveness of a people, and you have to make them desperate so that they are not content with their lives and so that they are looking for something else. And then they pitch the idea of nihilism as a means of preparing the way for this something else.
Yes. We'll be back for the final 10 minutes for our conversation with Christopher John Bjorknes when Mark Dankhoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Chris Cox of the National Rifle Association will then join me for about 20 minutes as we lead up to the conclusion of the show. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the final minutes of our conversation with Christopher John Bjerknes of JewishRacism.com. Avail yourself of his 575-page book available if you can download a free PDF file. That is entitled The Jewish Genocide of Armenian Christians. And Christopher, this is utterly ludicrous to ask a historian to cover something as detailed as this has to be in a handful of minutes, but tell us a little bit about Mordecai Manuel Noah, who appears in part four of your manuscript.
He was a very influential American Jew who came up with a plan, a Zionist plan. He may have been inspired by the Rothschilds, or he himself may have inspired the Rothschilds, and he proposed the idea of American involvement as a Christian movement to sponsor the Jews themselves, because he acknowledged that the Jews were the most influential people in control of the Turkish Empire, and that they had the means to buy Palestine from the Turkish Empire. But the problem that was faced was not the Turks, but the Arabs. They knew that the Arabs would oppose this as the manifestation of El Dajjal, which you can look at as the Antichrist. And they also knew that the Arabs would oppose it because it would be a great injustice to the Palestinians and Syrians that were then living in the lands that Rothschild wanted to buy. And Mordecai Manuel Noah was significant in pitching to Christians the idea that it was their duty to help the Jews, and pitching to Christians the idea that Muslims were bad people and should be destroyed, and that Christians had a religious duty to destroy, to destroy Islam and to help restore the Jews to Palestine. And this began a long tradition of Christian Zionism in America, which has manifested itself in the neoconservative subversion of the Republican Party. There's a direct linkage.
Yes, which is most helpful, because I think when I avail myself of part four of your book and look at Mordecai Manuel Noah, I think I'll see exactly which lineage you're referring to with reference to what E. Michael Jones has said in this April 2007 article for Culture Wars, where he reviews Murray Friedman's book, The Neoconservative Revolution, Jewish Intellectuals and the Shaping of Public Policy, a Cambridge University publication. And it becomes abundantly clear from reading what Michael Jones has to say that the American right, what we have associated mentally as being the American right since World War II, has been thoroughly infiltrated by Zionist elements, chiefly through William F. Buckley and National Review.
And also through William Kristol and through Pearl, yeah, and Wolfowitz and the whole litany that names that are now very familiar to people. If I may segue into the NRA guest that you have, there is a lesson to be learned from the Armenian genocide that's very relevant to gun confiscations.
Sure.
One of the pretexts that was given for the destruction of the Armenian people was the myth that they were rebels and counter-revolutionaries. And the Young Turks cleverly would arrest Armenian leaders and say that these people are rebels. And then they proposed the idea that they would be released if their families were to turn in their arms, their guns, and their swords, so that they would then be defanged and the Young Turks could then release them. Now, the Armenians were not largely rebels and counter-revolutionaries. There were some, but very, very few. So the Armenian women were told to go out and purchase guns so that they could turn in these guns and exchange them for their captive husbands. And they did this. They went out and they bought guns, and they went to the police stations and the concentration camps that the Young Turks had established, and they said, here are guns. Please give us back our husbands. But when they did that, the Young Turks said, aha, see, we knew you were counter-revolutionaries. And they took the guns and used those guns as further armaments with which to kill the Armenians. And they then tortured and murdered all the people that they had taken captive. So we have to be very careful not to fall into these kinds of traps. And the Armenians should have vehemently resisted what was going on, and they were betrayed by their own leadership to not resist. And we have to be aware of the fact that our leadership is betraying us and will continue to betray us, and we have to take control of the situation through civilized political means and political involvement to put an end to this, because we should not have trust in the idea that our leaders are good people and would not do anything bad to us.
Classic example of this, and until my tech tells me that the next guest is up, if he's not yet here when we come back, I wanted to make reference to this, Christopher, in regard to something presently in the United States Senate called 1237, the Gonzales-Lautenberg legislation. What is it? Denying firearms and explosives to dangerous terrorists? This is Mark Gankoff's America. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Public Broadcasting Network. We'd like to thank Christopher John Bjorknes for being with us in the first 2.5 hours of the show. We're now joined for approximately 10 minutes or so by Chris W. Cox. He has been the executive director of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action since 2002. And I wanted to ask Chris specifically about something in the United States Senate currently being proposed entitled S-1237. It's called Denying Firearms and Explosives to the Dangerous Terrorists Act of 2007, also known euphemistically as the Gonzales-Lautenberg Bill. The NRA describes this in its latest publication of July 2007, The American Rifleman, as the broadest power grab ever proposed over the right to keep and bear arms. How are you, Chris?
Mark, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yes. What's the story with Senate Bill 1237? What's the status of the thing, and why should we be concerned about it? What's in it?
Well, when you read that title, it sounds great. It sounds very reasonable, but it's a really dangerous policy. And here's why. First of all, no one wants to keep guns out of the hands of terrorists more than law-abiding gun owners and NRA members in this country. We've had members who fought and died in Afghanistan and Iraq and who serve as first responders. That being said, you've got to take a close look at some of the goofy legislation that's being proposed up there these days. What this bill would do is it would give this or any future attorney general to deny any American their right to own a gun based on whether or not they're on a secret list. Now, people don't know how you get on a terrorist watch list, and truthfully, that's probably a good thing. When this first started happening back after 9/11, we worked with the Justice Department to make sure that people who were on terrorist watch list were bumped up against the gun background check system, and if they came back with a hit, they called the FBI field agent. But there's a big difference in that. This is denying rights to people based with no due process. And in America, that's not how we do things. If you're a terrorist, you shouldn't be in this country. We need to do a better job, and our government officials need to do a better job of keeping terrorists out of this country. If they're in this country, arrest them. But don't treat lawful people as a criminal or as a terrorist just because you want to talk to them, just because they're on some secret list. Mark, you might have remembered Ted Kennedy got on a no-fly list, which we all thought was pretty funny. Took him a few weeks to get off of it after he called the Department of Homeland Security Secretary at the time, Tom Ridge, but it took him 3 weeks. Think about some average American out there who gets put on a secret list, has no way of knowing if he's on it, no way of knowing how to get off of it, and you're just automatically, based on this or the next Janet Reno, you're arbitrarily denied your right to own a gun.
Yes, and quoting from what your friend Wayne LaPierre tells us in the July 2007 American Rifleman, at the sole discretion of the Attorney General, they can withhold anything and everything they allegedly have on you, all in the name of national security. And quoting specifically from what's in apparently in the text of this Gonzales-Lautenberg bill, the Attorney General can say that you are simply appropriately suspected of being involved in certain activities. Not that you necessarily have been proven or are known to be, but just appropriately suspected. That obviously is a very dangerous caveat.
And what the FBI will tell you, and there was an FBI field agent named Schlaff out in Denver who said, look, we put people on a list for all sorts of reasons. If you know someone who we think might need to be on the list, we're going to put you on because we want to talk to you too. But he went on to say that there's no cause to deny someone a gun just because he or she's on the list, that you're innocent until proven guilty. And again, you know, we need to get serious about criminals and potential terrorists in this country, and NRA will work with law enforcement and with the Justice Department hand in hand to make sure that you know, we take the bad guys off the streets and stick them, whether it's Guantanamo Bay or wherever they want to stick them. But this list is now, estimates are saying that it's close to 500,000 people in America who are on these lists. You know, if there are really 500,000 terrorists in this country, then the problem's a lot bigger than we thought. But what they're saying is that this attorney general or any future attorney general, based on just a secret list, if you get put on it, what's them to say that every gun owner is a potential terrorist? And we're going to make the list of the entire NRA membership. You know, it's crazy. It's an abuse of our Constitution. I mean, we have due process in this country. You're innocent until proven guilty, and this Gonzales-Lautenberg bill tramples all over that. Again, let's get serious about the discussion. Let's do everything we can, first of all, to keep terrorists out of this country, to arrest them if they make it here, but let's not treat lawful people in this country like criminals with no due process. That's not how we exercise freedom under our Constitution.
Well, I'm not surprised, and this is, of course, a political judgment on my part. I'm not surprised that Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey would be involved in something like this. But what is a Republican attorney general doing lending his name and support to this legislation?
Well, that's a great question, and we were outraged when this Justice Department put out this proposal and blessed it and sent it up to Capitol Hill. We also weren't surprised that Frank Lautenberg wrapped his arms around it, and if he finds a way to trample on the Second Amendment rights of lawful people in this country, he's not going to miss that opportunity. But we were shocked and disappointed and outraged, and that's why you've read it in the NRA publications. I sent a letter to Capitol Hill immediately after this legislation was introduced expressing our outrage. But it's a tough one. People read it and they say, well, you know, why does NRA want to allow terrorists to have guns? You know, that nothing could be further from the truth, Mark, as you know. But we also believe we're tough on terrorists. We hate terrorists, but we love our Constitution. And in this country, there is something called due process, and there is something called innocent until proven guilty. And what's worse, the only hint of due process in this legislation would give you a chance to appeal based on summary and redacted information. So that's going into a court with one arm tied behind your back and blindfolded and trying to have a fair day. This is bad policy. It's misguided. It's a trampling of freedom. Anybody who cares about civil liberties in this country ought to be outraged by this. Now, I don't expect ACLU and other groups to stand up and fight with us on this, but we're going to do everything we can to make sure that the next Janet Reno doesn't add every gun owner to a terrorist watch list and deny our rights.
And quoting from what Mr. LaPierre has indicated is part of the actual text of this law, it says that, quote, any information which the Attorney General relied on for this determination, if it were determined that such, you know, said persons are, you know, were on this list, may be withheld if the Attorney General determines that disclosure of the information would likely compromise national security, unquote. That's pretty scary stuff.
And if you think about it, Mark, this is dangerous. If you truly are a suspected terrorist, if you truly wish to do harm to this country, if this were to become law, if you want to know whether or not you're being watched, go try to buy a gun. They're not arresting you. They're just denying you the right to buy a gun legally. So you could very easily find out whether or not you're on a list simply by going to try to purchase a firearm. So this is bad policy. It's counterproductive to our counterterrorism efforts. It's obviously counterproductive to our constitutional freedoms. But to suggest that an unelected bureaucrat has the authority to arbitrarily to deny someone based on a secret list with redacted and summary evidence given to you after the fact, that's just something that the NRA is not going to stand for. We don't care if it's PC. We don't care if it's popular with the national news media. We're going to fight because it's the right thing to do.
If you happen to know, Chris, I'm thinking of some work I used to do for Howard Phillips of the Conservative Caucus up there from time to time, where occasionally he'd use me to research some Senate bills in regard to the content of the bills and the co-sponsors and so forth, and what status the thing was in, whether it was in committee or on the full floor and so forth. Who are some of the other co-sponsors of this Senate Bill 1237?
You know, I don't have it in front of me, but your listeners can go to www.thomas.gov and enter in the bill number and pull up the co-sponsors. I don't have that in front of me, but I'm sure Hillary and Chuck Schumer and the whole crew are taking a close look at it if they haven't already co-sponsored it.
Well, in recommending this Thomas site, which I've utilized from time to time, it's an excellent site, by the way, folks. It gets you directly into the congressional record. Does the NRA anticipate, I mean, certainly you must, that the way as things stand now, and a lot can change in the next year, but as things stand right now, money raised in the presidential election efforts thus far and the opinion polls would suggest that it could be an extremely tough year for the Republican Party 1 year from now. If we find a Democratic president and with a solidified Democratic majority up on Capitol Hill, I suspect that what we're talking about in terms of Senate Bill 1237 could be just the tip of the iceberg of what will follow.
Well, It really could. If we get a president who does not respect our Second Amendment rights, the amount of damage they can do just administratively and through the federal agencies will be devastating. They won't even need Congress to cause problems. I mean, Janet Reno wreaked havoc on our freedoms without even needing the Congress. Once they had the Congress, as you know, they passed gun bans and waiting periods and all sorts of things. And if you look at, you know, I'm not a black helicopter guy, but if you look at the UN and what they're trying to do globally with their gun ban efforts, that's exactly what they're waiting for. They're waiting for an anti-gun president with an anti-gun Senate to approve truly a global gun ban treaty. I mean, this is not hysteria coming out of the NRA. This is reality coming out of the United Nations. So it's a very serious issue. We always talk about the next election is the most important election. Well, it is. And it always is. This is a never-ending fight. Real quick on the Thomas website, if you go to nraila.org, you can link to Thomas through our website as well.
And that's nraila.org.
Yes.
And that will then take people to the Thomas site, where they can involve themselves in researching not only Senate Bill 1237, the so-called Gonzales-Lautenberg bill, but a whole host of other things as well.
That's exactly right.
Chris, I know you've just got a few more minutes with us. You have to go in, what, 5 minutes?
I've got a little more time, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you.
Well, I see that I've got a caller, CJ in Missouri. CJ, you're on the line for Chris Cox of the National Rifle Association. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm calling this morning from Missouri, and I just wanted to mention pertaining to your, discussion this morning. I have a colleague who, we fly for the largest airline in the world. We are based in New York out of JFK, and she is on a no-fly list. In other words, every time that she goes to fly from Phoenix, Arizona to New York, in order to go to work, to fly internationally, her husband has to call, I believe, the FBI in order to get her name released so she is able to fly from Phoenix to Chicago or Dallas to New York. And her name is similar to someone whose name is on the list. And so, and she has tried for, I don't know, a year to try to get her name off this list, but has not been successful.
Well, CJ, you're exactly right. That's the type of frustration and things that we hear here at the NRA every day. Don Young, Congressman Young from Alaska, he was the chairman of the House Transportation Committee, and he got put on a no-fly list. Mm. And we talked about Ted Kennedy, which we all thought was entertaining and humorous. He got put on a no-fly list.
Exactly.
And if it takes these guys weeks, if not months, to get off a list. That's what I meant. Think about the average citizen who is going, you know, for their one vacation of the year, or maybe even the vacation of a lifetime, and they show up at the airport with their family, and their trip's canceled because mom or dad or son or daughter can't get on the plane because they've mistakenly been added to a list. Now that's a nuisance. That's a major problem. But think about if it's to exercise a constitutional freedom that we have in America.
Exactly.
And that's why the National Rifle Association is fighting against this type of bad policy every day.
Well, praise the Lord for that.
Well, thank you for calling in, CJ.
Thank you so much. God bless you all and be safe.
Thank you.
God bless you. Well, Chris, let me ask you something else, and I don't mean to be putting you on the spot, but, you know, there's been a lot of controversy among many of us on the populist right in regard to the USA Patriot Acts and the Military Commissions Act of 2006, the National Security Agency's warrantless spying program that has been revealed in the mainstream press in the last year or so. Are we to see some of these other things as the precursors of what we're now looking at in terms of the no-fly list and also in regard to this Gonzales-Lautenberg bill? Is this a part of a seamless garment where we've started down a road that we're just beginning to recognize is potentially a road that's not been very well thought out?
Well, Mark, I think we would both agree that it's standard procedure for Congress to overreach, whether it's a tragedy, like a school shooting that we all pray about and we all, you know, hope that cooler heads prevail, but there's always a knee-jerk reaction out of politicians. They feel like they have to do something without thinking about the ramifications. And what you're seeing, both from a civil liberty standpoint and with other policy, is overreaching. Good intentions. Now, I'm not questioning anyone's intentions. We want this country to be safe, and we're living in a dangerous world right now. But we also, that's what makes us better than these other people and these other countries, is that we have freedoms. We're not intimidated. We're not going to lose them, and we're not going to allow politicians to take them away from us. And so we have to always, all of us as Americans, that's part of our duty, is to stay engaged in the process, to let your elected officials know that our freedoms are important to us, and we're not going to let them take them away from us. And if they don't respect them, then we're going to vote against them in the next election. And until we all take this anger and frustration that we have and turn it on these people, whether it's the Frank Lautenbergs or others who don't seem to care about the personal liberties that we all were born with, that the Constitution actually says that they can't take away, until we stand up and say enough is enough, we're not going to let you trample on our rights. We're not going to let you, you know, wrap the American flag around you and trample on the same freedoms that flag represents. Then we're going to lose, but that's not what's going to happen. We're fighting this fight every day. We know you're out there preaching the good word, and we're thankful for that.
We'll be back with Chris W. Cox for the final minutes of our conversation. He is the executive director of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action, which you can find at NRAILA.org. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are in the last couple of minutes of our show today, in the last couple of minutes of our conversation with Chris W. Cox, the Executive Director of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action, which you can find at nraila.org. And among Chris's many wonderful pieces of information today is the suggestion that we use nraila.org to get to this Thomas website. If you can get to that Thomas website, you can research absolutely anything in the congressional record, including Senate Bill 1237, this dreadful Lautenberg-Gonzalez legislation that is a threat to your constitutional rights and to mine. Chris, we just got a couple of minutes to go, and in that regard, what do you see as some of the basic fronts that you're going to be fighting on between now and, say, January of 2009?
Well, we're obviously preparing as we speak for the elections next year. But in the meantime, we have a lot of legislative activity, not only in the state capitals all over the country, but also on Capitol Hill. We've seen Mayor Bloomberg continue with his money and his bully pulpit, trying to push New York City-style gun control laws all over the rest of the country. He's decided that he's going to be America's mayor and America's top cop, even though he wasn't elected to do that. But he's got billions of dollars that he's willing to spend running ads against members of Congress. So we're fighting now through the appropriations process to make sure that the TEART language, which protects sensitive law enforcement data, stays within the law enforcement community and isn't used to try to sue gun manufacturers out of business. I mean, that's one of many issues that we're facing currently. We have a Second Amendment case that very well may be heard this fall by the United States Supreme Court. And so it's a very busy time at NRA, and I appreciate your kind words and your listener support of the association. It's a critical time, and we're at a crossroads, and we need to make sure that we keep protecting this great freedom.
Yes, and I think you've said something this morning, Chris, that becomes absolutely imperative in this entire circumstance, and that is that this is an ongoing process and an ongoing fight. I think a lot of conservatives became complacent in the wake of the displacement of the Clinton presidency, that things were going to be perpetually okay again, only to discover that here we are in the tail end of a Republican presidency, to discover that a Republican attorney general has been involved in something with Frank Lautenberg that is an absolute threat to our constitutional freedoms, and that could be a precursor, I suspect will be a precursor, to a number of other things that we'll see out of the next Congress and out of presumably whoever the next president will be, not simply if it's a Democrat, but I think Giuliani has indicated that he is very strongly in favor of a series of gun control measures.
Well, one of the things, Mark, that's so critical for your listeners to know and for NRA members that we understand and know because we deal with it every day is that the national news media is not going to tell the story on this Lautenberg bill. Mark will, the National Rifle Association will, but you're not going to read that in your national newspapers or your big city newspapers, and you're certainly not going to see it on the nightly news. It's up to us to keep telling people that these rights are important, these rights are constantly under attack, and that the day that we sit back on our laurels and congratulate ourselves for the latest victory is the day that our opponents move one step forward with their agenda. And their agenda, while their talking points have changed and they sound much more moderate, their agenda is to ban this freedom that we love. They don't believe that people should have guns for self-defense. They don't believe that people should have guns for hunting. And even though they talk a big game when they go on the talk shows, that's their agenda. You can find it on their website. You can find it in their speeches. And it's up to us as individual citizens to all stand up, to fight together. And if we do that, we will win. But if we sit back, if we get complacent, if we get apathetic,